even if Hitler's nationalism, populism, anti-Semitism, and non-Marxist socialism took more time to germinate, the relevant point is that what came to be known as Hitlerism or Nazism was already a significant current in Germany and elsewhere in Central Europe, particularly Czechoslovakia. Hitler would give these inchoate passions a name and a focus, but the raw materials were already there. Unlike Mussolini's fascism, which was mostly a creation of his own intellect, Hitler's ideology came to him largely preassembled. Mussolini's fascism, moreover, played no discernible role in the formation of early Nazi ideology or Hitler's embryonic political vision. What Hitler would later confess to admiring about Mussolini was Il Duce's success, his tactics, his Sorellian exploitation of political myth, his salesmanship. These ideas and movements were swirling all around Europe and Germany. What the masses didn't need was some new doctrine. What they needed was someone who could pull them into action. Action was the watchword across the Western world. Action got things done. That's what Hitler realized when he read that pamphlet on his cot in the pre-dawn hours. His time had come. He would become National Socialism's greatest salesman, not its creator. Even while Hitler was still pondering whether he should join the German Workers' Party, he received a membership card in the mail. He'd been recruited. He was given party number 555. Needless to say, it wasn't long before he was running the show. It turned out that this antisocial, autodidactic misanthrope was the consummate party man. He had all the gifts a cultish revolutionary party needed: oratory, propaganda, an eye for intrigue, and an unerring instinct for populist demagoguery. When he joined the party, its treasury was a cigar box with less than 20 marks in it. At the height of his success, the party controlled most of Europe and was poised to rule the world. In 1920, the Nazi Party issued its unalterable and eternal party platform, co-written by Hitler and Anton Drexler, and dedicated to the overarching principle that the common good must come before self-interest. Aside from the familiar appeals to Germany for the Germans and denunciation of the Treaty of Versailles, the most striking thing about the platform was its concerted appeal to socialistic and populist economics, including providing a livelihood for citizens. Abolition of income from interest, the total confiscation of war profits, the nationalization of trusts, shared profits with labor, expanded old age pensions, communalization of department stores, the execution of usurers, regardless of race, and the outlawing of child labor. So, we're supposed to see a party in favor of universal education, guaranteed employment, increased entitlements for the aged, the expropriation of land without compensation, the nationalization of industry, the abolition of market-based lending, aka interest slavery,